Okay, so just before we briefly recap last floor, I just wanted to add one point which I think I neglected to mention. We raised the question about whether or not there is some sort of formal takana here, in this case of within various shitos. One thing which is, I think, pretty telling, and it points in the opposite direction of what we've seen, because I mentioned Rabbi Yerucham, for instance, it's hard to imagine that you would say that if somebody else could, takes it, that's going to be, if somebody else would take it, then it would be no problem. It's hard to imagine that if there were takana, that would be the case. But then we find, I think, something in the opposite direction in the Ramban, meaning not that we find sort of a lack, very flexible based on different variables. And I think in the Ramban you see the opposite, you see sort of inflexibility, which really points more towards the takana, I think. And that is in the context of the question, Rinat Ham's chilek is between mechira, between mechum emkar and hefker matana, right? Because the idea being in hefker matana you don't necessarily have alternatives. In the mechira you will, because your money can find somewhere else to buy. Well, let's say we have exceptions in those cases. So we'll discuss another one on the hefker side of it maybe today. Hopefully today, but on the mechira side, so that would be a case, let's say, where you have a pretty good sale. I mean, just a one-time sale. You're never going to get a price like this. That's one case. Another case would be, for instance, if you had a unique item being sold. All right, so that's something. Another thing, which is, on the mechira side of it, where the reasoning of Reuben Tam would seem to point in the other direction and say, here there is no din of money hamahabechara. So that indeed is the approach most Rishonim take. Within Rabbi Natan. That according to Rabbi Natan, if there's a mechira, let's say, of something which is a unique price, so then there's no din of aniyam ba'atik chorar. The exception is the Ramban in Bava Basra. The Ramban in Bava Basra says that even though Rabbi Natan's reasoning would seem to point in that direction, and seemingly it's pretty clear that it would, that the logic would be that in that case there's no halacha of aniyam ba'atik chorar, there's no iser. Nonetheless, there is an iser. This is the Ramban in this is a continuation of the Ramban, which I quoted in Bavasra. He says, "Aval b'davar shel hefker d'kazachi l'nafshi lo mikri rashi lo mishkach achrina chayav kodmin klamar rapa d'idipa mashe enkin b'mecher v'afilu lakach b'pachos michdei damav hoil u'mecher hu ein lachlok." Ein lachlok, what would you say is the equivalent Aramaic word for lachlok? Or ein lachalik? Lachlok. Yeah, it sounds like this idea, that's what it seems to be. I mean, that's what the logic would suggest, that if this is the case, it has to be the result of a low plug. Because the reasoning really wouldn't seem to apply in that case. And I think that's indeed what the Ramban is saying. And this, I think, does point in the direction of there being a takana. We're not being mechalek between different cases. But if it were just, there's no particular takana. It's just, it's not right to do, and it's something that is, in some sense, us or whatever level that, whatever makor we've discussed, but there's no formal takana, and it's mishum, and the reason for it is mishum. The fact that you can just go somewhere else, it's hard to imagine you would say, and ein lachlok b'mecher, why not? The logic doesn't apply here. So I think that does point in the direction of saying that at least, according to Rabban's understanding of Rabbi Tam, there was some sort of takana here. Again, whether or not the takana was that it's usher to do so, or maybe it's not that it's usher to do so, but that there's a takana shenik sheyikari rasha. That we're calling him a Rasha, that was a takana, and therefore, like Chazal generally do, they don't sort of carve out and tailor it to very specific situations. They kind of just make their takanas as broad as possible. So therefore, we would say something like in lachlo. So that's just one ha'ara which I forgot to mention before. All right. So just to recap quickly, what we discussed last time, we discussed basically three possible makaros for this halach, for this din of ani ha'me'abek b'charara. The first was Vasis Hayashar Batov. This is what emerges according to the Rishonim within Rabbi Natan, or Zeruah and the Rosh and the Ram, that say that the basis for Rabbi Natan is chiluk between Hefker and Matana, and really the basis for the idea of the Yisr of a mitzvah to refrain from activity which is sort of gratuitous in undermining somebody else's interests when you can just go elsewhere, just go elsewhere. So they say it's from Dina de Bar Mitzra, which Gemara and B'Matzia, Kofcheh says, is a din that is rooted in Vasisa Hayashar Batov. And now we discussed in what way that is the case. But what emerges from them is that the din of Ani HaMahapechara is likewise based on, is Mishum Vasisa Hayashar Batov. As Rashi says there in the Makaros, that it's, Dabashi, Iyatad Nichsar, What is it? Nexar kokach, right? This is Rashi, and this is Devar Shiyeta Nexar kokach Shekimsa Karkos. This is regarding Bar Mitzvah. So Lo Tatriach Al Ben Amitzar. So likewise, something you can find somewhere else. Lo Tatriach Al Mahapich. And that's the source of this issue. Then we saw the possibility, the great possibility, that it's Mishum V'Hatil Re'echa Kamocha. This we get if we saw that the other Rishonim, Rashi, Ritva, and others, say that it's Mishum Aniyam Mahapich. I'm sorry, it's Mishum Yoredunus Chavero. So as far as your learning Scovero, we saw that the Rush makes a compelling assumption, which is that it's part of the Achakos and Zikin, that's where it's found in Shas. Is the Kana, the Marchik, from your neighbors, a damaging activity, and here we have damaging, not damaging agents, but damaging activity. So that's one of the Achakos and Zikin. And some Rishonim believe that Achakos and Zikin themselves are Mishum Zatel Rechek Mocha, a suggestion of the Yad Rama, which we discussed a little in terms of whether or not we understand this as being some sort of Deraisa, a component of the Deraisa, sort of, it's within the Deraisa parameters of Masha Yatar would say Lasos, you know, Shayat Selacha, Atasu Lacherim, or not, maybe it's just a Tekunder, but either way, it would be rooted then in Vahatel Rechek Mocha. And finally, we saw the possibility that perhaps it's really rooted in, it's really based upon the Yisr of Gezel or something like it, namely Hasagas Vul, and this we saw in two ways, in two variations. The first was assuming again that it's like the Rishonim will hold that it's Mishum Yor, that it's somehow the same Takana, or it's two sides of the same coin of Yorlu Nusa Shchavero. So we saw that there are Rishonim and there are Poskim, early Poskim, that think that Yorlu Nusa Shchavero really is a din of Gezel, Mishum Gezel. That we saw in the Ramah, who applies this point in the context of saying that even if you hold like the Rambam who held that the mitzvah's dinim is that it's upon me incumbent upon me Noach is really only to adjudicate the other mitzvahs, Shev Mitzvahs in Noach. But this art Nidon is still the chalal that Shev Mitzvahs in Noach because it's Bechal Gezel. And he goes on to explain that his case is a case of Yerlun Nusha Chavero, which would seem to indicate as a Chavos Sofer suggests that he understood it as Gezel. Chavos Sofer thinks it's Gezel Midirais. I have to think about that, whether or not that raises other questions. But either way, it's certainly Mishum Gezel according to the Ramah. Likewise, you saw the Rokeach. The Rokeach has this, that it's Bechlav the Aror, even though it's not an Isser of Hasagas Gvul, which according to the Sifre is Dafka the Okir Tumma Shel Chavero, and it's only, this is Parsha, right? It's only in Eretz Yisrael, but I went through the Maharsha with you that he thinks that this is sort of some unique concept that you find elsewhere also, that the Aror is sort of expanding the Isser. Either way, it's Mishum, somehow Yorid and Mishum Chavar, it's Mishum Hasagas Gvul, which is, I think, the source of the colloquial reference to it as Hasagas Gvul. I should add that the idea that Yorid and Mishum Chavar is Mishum, some sort of Gezel, as opposed to, let's say, Hachakos Zikin. I think that does work better with the phrase, with the drasha in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in Hanas Rapin, where Chazal sort of darshan that a person ought not to be Yordan Mishchavero from the Pasuk, that he says about somebody, if the Cheskel says about somebody, that as Eishus Re'eh lo Kime, Shalo Yordan Mishchavero. This is a Sanhedrin, I think, on Pei Aleph. Again, this is the Maharitz. According to Maharitz, this is where we got Drasha for any amount of chara from this drasha. So that drasha was. Here, I'm sorry. The Re'eh lo Time, Shalo Yara de Nuschavero, Velyin Shalo Kuhulu Kuhulu. Then to that word, Sati Kuhu Chaya. Yeah, okay. So Eshus Re'eh lo Time, Shalo Yara de Nuschavero. So that seems to indicate that what's the problem? Taking something from somebody else, right? Eshus Re'eh lo Time. That definitely sort of points in the direction of the idea being that this person has a claim upon the business, claim upon the commerce, and you're taking that from him, and therefore it's a problem of Yor L'Mishul Chavero, kind of a Gezel sort of idea. I think that works better. That works particularly well with that understanding of the Makor Ha'Isser. All right, so that's what we discussed. Finally we mentioned that it's really the Rush. I didn't get a chance to look up again. But the Tosfos Rush, for sure, sort of adds on to the list of questions that Rishonim raise, that the Tosfos, Balei HaTosfos, raise against the Rita Tam and raise and deflect. You say the Rita Tam held there's no Ani Amak B'Chorah with regard to Hefker, but what about what we find in X, Y, and Z. So one of the cases that they, the Z, which isn't brought up in our Tosos, but it's brought up in the Rush, and I believe among others, is the case of Ani HaMenakef Berosh HaZayis, or Berosh HaZavis. And now that case, the Gemara, the Mishnah says is Mashtaklev is Gezel Mibnei Darcha Shalom, or Gezel Gomor Mibnei Rabban. Either way, it's certainly Gezel. So the Havmina was, this, how does that make sense for Rabbeinu Tam? Right? Rashi, I understand, but how does it make sense for Rabbeinu Tam? So he said that the, what's, I mean, for Shitas Rashi, is that it applies to Hefker. The Havmina there, and then the answer, but the Havmina seems to be that the Isser in that Mishnah is somehow connected to Anayam Abed Bechor, which we describe, which we tried to explain, based on the idea that there's a tircha, the tircha creates some sort of claim, and that we recognize it. If it's tircha mo'ila, then it's mamish gezel midirabanan, or gezel midirabanan shalom, is a specific tekana, that's gezel. If it's tircha she'ina mo'ila, so then it was didn't have that extra unique, that extra specific tekana, but it's still the base, and really what was that was the basis of that tekana, that amplified tekana, was the basic iser of ani ha'mapich harara, kind of gezel, based on the tircha of the mahapich. So that seems to be what would be suggested according to the sort of the what was implicitly the Rashi's question upon Rabbeinu Tam, that this works, this makes sense, I can understand it for Rashi, but not for Rabbeinu Tam. Then he goes on to answer, here there's tircha, so tircha shani, tircha creates a schus, which we then understand as gezel, but the point was that there was an association, that the implication was that for Rashi, you somehow understand it better, was more natural. I think the idea seems to, or not Farage, I mean Farage's position, if you hold that, only applies to Hefker, you understand this more naturally, but I think that seems to also suggest that Ani HaMenakef is Mishum Gezel, and therefore Ani HaMenakef is somehow an extension of it, is an extension of it, it's an amplification. All right, so now what we've discussed. So I think, in terms of the two questions that we've seen so far, that we really discussed so far and we've analyzed, I think it clearly makes sense to assume that, that we can link these questions. That these questions are linked. That the character of the Isser possibly entirely depends upon the Makor of the Isser. To the extent that we say that the basis for this Isser is Gezel. That the Makor for the Isser is Gezel. Gezel Midiraisa, Midirabanan, or it's Hafsakas Gvul. So then, I think clearly suggests that the problem here, the nature of the sister, the nature of the norm, is that you violated the Mahapich's claim. That we recognize the schus of the Mahapich because of his hipuch that he has in the chepetz. And therefore, there's an isser to violate that. That's a kind of an isser gezel. And indeed, the makor is gezel. That makes perfect sense. Whereas, if you understand the makor for the isser here is really either something like Vasisa Hayashar Batov or or something which I didn't mention, which is the Rush's understanding of Yerodim Shachavero, that it's sort of midin Dirachad Darcheinelam, something along those lines. So then I think it makes sense to suggest, we'll see whether or not this has to be, but I think it makes sense to say, that this is purely a Hanaga Yeshara. It doesn't have to do with the person has a claim that you're violating. It's simply, we have certain demands upon you that you act yourself, act in, with certain sensitivity and certain decency with respect to others. And that's where this din comes from. It doesn't really have to do with Hilchos Gzela, it has to do more with Hilchos Deos. Those Yisurim and those Mitzos, Vesiza Yashar Vatatar Hashet Kamachadim, they really are in Hilchos Deos. Alright. Actually, well, Vesiza Yashar maybe not. Vatatar Hashet Kamachad certainly is. But either way, the idea. Alright, so now, before we question the latter part of that, I just want to point out that we're now in a position to sort of offer a fuller explanation of Rashi, of Machlokas Rashi and Tam. Because we had suggested two possibilities for Rashi. Rashi, could argue, he holds that the Isser is really, I mean, why does it apply to Hefker? Why does he need Mechalik? He thinks that it's Mishum Gezel, that the Mahapik has a claim upon this object, that what we're saying here is you have to respect that claim, that we recognize it on some level. And the person is a Nigger Rashi. If he doesn't, because he simply usurped the item which we recognized the Mahapik as having claim over. So, of course, it applies Bein Be Hefker, Bein Matan. That was one suggestion. And we suggested, alternatively, that perhaps he agrees that it's Mishum Hanaga Yishara. It's not there's no claim upon this object that we recognize, but there's some sort of requirement that you act sensitively, and we view you as violating here. So now we can explain more. But he just disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam about what that requirement is, right? Whereas Rabbeinu Tam thinks you simply have to refrain from activity which is undermines him gratuitously. If you have another equal alternative, there's no reason, there's no need to torment him. That's Zarina Tam's understanding of this, of the chiyuv here. Whereas Rashi perhaps just disagrees about that. He doesn't think that the content is limited to that sort of activity. Now we can explain more fully. The first possibility makes sense. What we'll say, meaning that Rashi held it was Mishuv Gezel. So we'll say, whereas Rabbi Tam held that the Isser is Mishuv Vasis HaYashar Bar Tov, right, as we're shown clearly, say explicitly. Rashi held that the Isser was the Yoradunus Shechavero, which he understood perhaps along the lines of the Ramah and the Rokeach as being a sort of an Isser Gezel, as being Bechlal Gezel, maybe even Min HaTorah. As being Bichal Hasag Zvul, so obviously then it doesn't make any difference whether or not we're dealing with Hefker, Mechum Memkar, or Hefker. It just simply isn't based on anything like what Ravina Tam is talking about. So that's why he disagrees. That's why he thinks it applies Bain Bit, Mechum Memkar, Bain Hefker. The alternative, we can explain as well, right? We suggested that Rashi thinks that it's simply not what we. He thinks that we don't have. It has nothing to do with Gezel on any level as well. Right, no, Rashi too concedes that this is purely a chopas agavra, tacked decently and sensitively. But where he disagrees with the Rabbeinu Tam is what kind of decent behavior we're demanding here. And we can now explain that machlokas perhaps turns upon the makor of this of the that is associated with this din. What's it rooted in? Rabbeinu Tam held, as we've said, that the basis is Vasisa Yashavarto. And as Din de Bar Metzra and even in Rashi illustrates, what this principle dictates is that you have to refrain from activity which is needlessly damaging to others. It doesn't make a difference so much for you, and it does make a difference for him. So to do that, that's what we're asking for. This is Rashi in Tavmitzia. So don't be matriach on some on the mahapich who's already engaged in pursuing this object. That's what would have been a tamhel. But perhaps Rashi will disagree and argue that the basis for this mitzvah, this din, is not Vasisa Yashar V'Tov. It's not Gezel. Nothing to do with Gezel. But it's not Vasisa Yashar V'Tov either. What it is something like, perhaps, V'Hadol Recha Kamocha. Right, that's the root of this din. V'Hadol Recha Kamocha. And when it comes to V'Hadol Recha Kamocha, so no such limitation is indicated. Right? The mitzvah is to treat others as you would want to be treated. So Rashi might understand that this halacha comes from that. That's the makor of this halacha. And what we're saying is, just as you would be upset and bittered if somebody swept in and preempted you after you've already spent time, after you've already spent effort trying to pursue this item, and you're closing in on it, somebody swoops in and gets it from you. So just as you wouldn't do that to somebody, don't do it to somebody else. So that's true. That's true. Bein behefker, bein bematana. Bein bematana, I'm sorry, bein behefker, bein bematana. Right? And Rashi also agrees, this has nothing to do with Gezel. But the makor for the Yisr, for Rashi, is not l'recha kamocha. It's not l'recha kamocha. So that applies, that there's no limitation there to something which is needlessly damaging. Maybe it's not even if it's needlessly. Maybe if it's just something that would be particularly stinging to somebody for them to have their efforts sort of preempted. So davar shi'ata rotzeh la'asot she'yas alacha, don't do to others as well, and that's, therefore, mitzvah sahata implies ani ha'ma p'chara bein b'hefker bein mekum hefker. Yeah.
That means that being the Torah is more sensitive to someone's like subjective needs than just what's objectively good or bad based on Vasisa Yashar V'Tov.
Well, there's different mitzvahs. There's Vasisa Yashar V'Tov, which implies don't do things which are, don't content. Torment somebody needlessly in terms of business. Then there's V'Hadol Recha Kamocha. These are two separate mitzvahs that I didn't make up.
We're applying it to the same context.
Huh?
We're applying it to the same context, I'm saying.
Well, as alternatives, meaning one could understand that this is like Dina Bar Metzra, Mishum Vasisa Yashar V'Tov, one could understand that it's something else.
The difference between the two would be whether we're going based on what someone feels subjectively is bad for them, meaning v'hatol recha kamocha.
I'm not sure how. I mean,
we're focusing on the guy.
That's a more general question. If you hold right, let's say a guy's a masochist. So would you say that v'hatol recha kamocha masochist means like he likes to cut himself? He's got some sort of psychological disorder. Would you say that? Okay, so then maybe what you want to do to others, you should be cutting other people? Obviously not. Meaning, so there's some objective character to the mitzvah then, I think that's clear. I think it's fair to raise the question, what if somebody happens to, let's say something that some people like, other people don't. So I think it's fair to raise the question. But either way, this is something which I think is pretty universal. Right? You have the ani who's mahapik, who spent some time, spent some effort, he thinks he's about to get it, and then you have somebody come in and get it from them. That's something that's quite bothersome. So is that what, did I answer your question? Meaning, I don't know that it makes it completely subjective, that it depends on what the, whether or not the Shaney, let's say, but presumably, even if that were true, I think most people would have the problem with that.
Right.
Meaning, you know, you're about to close the deal. Let's imagine that you're dealing with somebody. Let's say it's the case of Mecca Mekar, let's say it's after Pesach Adam. So you're under contract. And somebody comes along and offers the seller, so you're about to sell, you know, you close in on this field, this house, you spend some time, research, this is the final, and you've got the final thing coming, and then somebody comes and gets it from you. You know, somebody preempts you. It's annoying. because of the price, I don't know if anybody's bought a house before, but anyway, it's something which you can understand if it were Badler Kamalka, for sure, this is something that you would, you know, something that you consider quite problematic. If that's the source of the answer, I think I would apply to Hefker as well.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. Whereas, if that's the Sagash Arbatov, then already you understand where Ibn Thomas is coming from. If Badler Kamalka, I don't think that you would make that kind of distinction. And you have two different ethical demands. One of them, I think, is clear. It's nothing to do with whether how needless it is. It's just, or even mitzvah, let's say, for instance, of the Rambam, it doesn't matter whether or not it doesn't make a difference. It takes your time to do it. That's true. But you would want to have it done for yourself, so you have to do it to others. So, it's something completely different. Basisa Yashavatov is very different, and I think this could be an avenue. Alright, in any event, before we move on, I want to sort of note that we can challenge, however, the assumption that if it's Mishum Vasisa Yashar Tov, then it has nothing to do with Gezel. I think it's possible to hold that the Yisr is based on a notion of sort of Gezel on some level, right? That the person, the Mabek, has a claim upon this object, right? And therefore you have an Yisr to take it from him because he has on some level, in some sense, he has a skusin upon it, with the corresponding nafkaminas, right? Let's say with regard to the application of both Hefker and Matana, with regard to the application. Regardless of various contextual variables, whether or not it's an ani or an asher, whether or not someone else will take it or not, and with regard to all the other issues that we discussed. And nonetheless, understand the basis, scripturally, the sort of the anchor of this halacha is Vasis HaYashar V'Tov. And the idea would be simple, which is that a person indeed has a natural claim, let's say has a claim maybe naturally, maybe Lifnishazim, maybe on some level, he has a claim upon that which he's been mahapich for. Not a kinyan, but some sort of claim, some sort of schus. What Vasisa Yashar V'Tov does is it makes that claim binding upon everybody. Right? Everybody is beholden to that because Vasisa Yashar V'Tov, so if he has some sort of natural claim upon it based upon the effort that he's put into it, so then Vasisa Yashar V'Tov demands that you respect that, and that therefore you're beholden to that. And violating it, therefore, involves violating some sort of norm that we've placed upon you. In other words, Vasis HaYashar V'Tov sort of violates you, forbids you from violating the natural priority that the Mahapech has over that item. Now, I think not only does this seem to be sensible misfar, this could be how you understand this, but I think you also might actually have a precedent for it with respect to the home turf of Vasis HaYashar V'Tov, namely, Din Debar Metzra. Right, the Or Zeruah and the Ran and the Rush, they all clearly understood Din Debar Metzra as illustrating the principle, as being based upon the principle of Rin Tam, that the principle that Rin Tam understood is the basis for Ani, namely, don't needlessly torment somebody, don't needlessly disrupt their pursuits if you can just go elsewhere. Right? So that's true in the case of Ani HaMahapech L'chara, Libidir Rin Tam, right? This person's already been Mahapech and you have other ones you can get. That's the basis for Din Debar Metzra, right? The basis is, for you, it's equivalent to fine land elsewhere. For this guy, it's not. So don't bother him, right? Don't undermine him. But I think it's possible to understand the din of Din Bar Metzer otherwise. I think it's possible to understand that what we're saying is that the Matzron, or the Beit HaMitzar, has some sort of natural priority, natural claim to the abutting property by virtue of his being the nearest owner of property, and perhaps by virtue of our recognition, that is the language of the Sma, right, the Tov Shinchasav Yukrovim Zelazed. So there's sort of a natural claim that a Ben HaMetzer has upon the property next to him, that abuts his own, right? And the Nafkamina for that is that that given that we're charged to do Vasis HaYashar V'Tov, so what that means is that priority is now binding upon it, or maybe Chazal made it binding upon everybody else, upon the Lokeach as well, right? So that the Isser of din de remetzra, or of lokeach, taking the property from the, you know, of preempting the bar ben hametzar, the yisur is really a kind of gezel, in a sense, in that he's violating the claim, the natural claim of the ben hametzar. That's the basis of the yisur.
Now, the natural claim.
What?
Nechitesi, so the mazel had it, I moved to the house next to you. So
yeah.
Suddenly, natural claim to be the first one, if you want to say, I mean,
yeah, that we sort of recognize that the, you know, given that we say, so you're sort of, you have a bordering property, so that's, that itself gives you a kind of a claim, kind of a schus upon that chevetz. Meaning it's, but the difference between, say,
and halacha, yeah, that should be such a binding thing. It's a wonderful thing, but I mean, just it should be binding.
So, right, so it's not like a gezel sort of thing, but the vasisa yashar tov part of it makes it binding upon other people. We'll get to, I mean, the difference between this is that we all see, well, I'll get to nafkaminas for that in a second. Meaning that, you know, the Rambam's language here is, you know, tov v'yashar, that a person's nechasim should be, that's a whole basis of din anyway. I mean, whether or not it's mishum gezel or not, or mishum some sort of, you know, taking over a claim, the point is that, here, let's see, the Rambam's language, right, that get to that language in a second. So what I'm saying is that's a basis for sort of recognizing a kind of a claim, right? Okay. So, he has a quasi schus. Illustrate. Yeah. This notion that the ben hametzar has a sort of a quasi kin, I think, is already evident in according to some Rishonim, in the din the Gemara mentions right afterwards, the Gemara in Bava Metzia and Daf Kuf Ches. The Gemara essentially asks, the question that it deals with is, how do we, let's say the ben hametzar doesn't want to buy the property. So what do we do? How do we proceed? So the Gemara says, and this is if a lokeach, many Rishonim believe this is specifically if the lokeach is interacting with the ben hametzar, so then this is where this halacha applies. Asa in lechbet, right? The lokeach, the third party who's interested in buying this property, he asks him, "What are you planning on doing with this property?" He says, "Amar lei ezel is one. You go ahead, you buy it. I'm not interested." The amar lei, I'm sorry. Amar lei ezel is one. Right. The amar lei ezel is one. He says, "I want to go buy it." He says, "Go ahead." Sarach lemiknebet. Sarach lemiknebine. You have to do a kinyan. You have to do ma'aseh kinyan. Oh, lo. Or not. What do we say? Rabbina Amar lo tzarach lemiknebine. You don't do ma'aseh kinyan. He has the right of refusal. But once he refuses, so then... He has the right of to buy it. But once he refuses, so then it's fine. You can go ahead. Nardai Amri. Sarach lemiknebine. Mehilchasa tzarach lemiknebine. No, you have to do a ma'aseh kinyan. It's not chal. If he says, I'm not... You go ahead. And you go ahead and buy it. But you didn't do a ma'aseh kinyan, it still belongs to the ben hametzar. So you could have maybe understood this din. Some are showing trouble with this. What are we talking about? What are we doing the kinyan here for? And you could have maybe answered it other ways. But either way, the Chiddush Eran and Bava Metzia there suggests v'ilchus letzarach l'mikneh perush mishum dechashbinan le'le bar metzra kilo yesh lo ksas kinyan begufa shel karka. We consider the ben hametzar to have a kilo ksas kinyan, a quasi kinyan in this karka. Therefore, it's not just good enough to say din medorim. You know, aimly. No, you have to actually do a ma'aseh kinyan. This is the Ran and Bava Metzia on Kuf Ches Amud Aleph there. This is the immediately following discussion. The Gemara introduces the din of bar metzora. So the Gemara says, okay, now we have the din of metzora. Okay, do we need the ben hametzar to tell the lokeach to actually do a ma'aseh kinyan to the lokeach in order for the lokeach to be able to buy it on his own? Now that itself, I don't think proves is all that compelling as a raya for the idea that the root of the isser is gezel, because you could very well just say that this is after, meaning the basis of this isser was don't do something which is needlessly tormenting somebody else. Based on that expectation that we had of you, so then we say, maybe as part of that, maybe as a separate initiative, legislative initiative, but we say that we essentially then credit to the ben hametzar a kind of a quasi-kinyan, such that you would need to, if you want to relinquish that right, you would need to actually be makneh. And I think this makes pretty good sense for the Ran. The Ran is one of the people who clearly understood that the isser really is simply, you shouldn't be needlessly tormenting someone else. So for him to say, mitzvah kinyan, I think it's not inconsistent. I think the idea is just, that's the basis of the isser, And then sort of as a, perhaps based on the fact that everybody is prohibited from even, maybe that's the idea, that it's, in as much as everybody is basically forced to allow for your kinions, for you to buy it, so that gives you a kind of a quasi-kinion, such that you need to then be mocked, perhaps. But what I think you have, which is perhaps more compelling, are two other things. First is the shita mentioned by Rabbi Yonah in the Gemara Bavasra. The Gemara Bavasra discusses the case of... I'll mention because it becomes relevant afterwards anyway. Let's say you have a case of Yerusha. So
which daf is it?
What? Daf Yod Aleph and Beis. Well, actually, you're just looking inside. It's on the last. It's on the last of the sheets in the car sheets. I see it. It says Ha'ud is of an ara. I'm metzor de beinashia. And so, according to Rabbi Shimon, let's say talking about a son who buys at the border of his father's property, and then the father passes away. Ki kapagu amarle pligu li amitzray. I mean, the din normally is that it goes through a goral, right? It goes through just a lot. Potluck, I guess you couldn't call it. And then, but he says, "Listen, I have a karka here. So let me take the karka, which is some of it. Okay, I'm a rabbi. Could go and say kofet on me this stuff." So rabbi says that in this case we are kofet them to do that, to actually allow them to have it. And there's a focus whether or not we are, because there's some benefit to having it otherwise. Okay. So that halacha caused Rishonim to question a different one. We find the Gemara in Bavas Kuf Chaf Dalid darshins from the pasuk from this pasuk's parsha, right? About Bechor is not al Pishnayim. Is that right? This is the last week's parsha. I'm making it up.
This week.
Coming with parsha.
Kiseite.
Right. Kiseite. That he takes Pishnayim. So Chazal darshin from the pasuk there. You can see there in Kuf Chaf Dalid. It's actually not entirely clear. We're trying to different interpretations of what exactly we're darshing from, but. His chelek abechor is samuch, is next to the chelek apasha. So the Rishonim say, according to Rabbah, that you have this case, right, where if I happen to buy, let's say, a brother happens to buy a piece of property next to the father's rishus. So in that case, we're kofin, we don't allow that brother who has the property, the budding property, to be in the goral. We force everybody to just allow him to have that chelek. So why do you need the pasuk? Why do you need the drasha to tell you that that a bechor is chelek pashut has to be samach to the chelek habechor? So the Rishon give different answers to this, but the one that some give, and it's the Ravid. If you take a look in the Rabbi Yonah, he quotes it. That the Rabbi Yonah Bavasra there says Yesh Mechalkin Dormim Daat Kan Lo Kam Rabba Kofin Amidasam Elakas Shekidma Matzur Nafsal the Chalukasa. When do I say that there's this din that the Ben Amitzar, in this case, over Kofin the other ones to allow him to take it, to take the Samuch property, when he had a piece of property abutting something which was then going to be fall into the Chaluka, but if so then there's no din of bar mitzvah. No din of bar mitzvah, no din of kofin. So Rabbi Yonah rejects that, and he has a pretty good reason to reject it. He says, Vein Talmud Zeh, that makes some sense. Why? The cave in the time of the rabbi, lav meikara dina. Now, I think what he means here, there's another possibility which I'll mention maybe if we have time later, but I think what he means here is, since it's not that he's meikara dina, meaning there's no kinyan. Right, it's nothing to do with that he has some sort of kinyan over the karka, right? That's where you generally find ban kachas problems, right? Ela mishum kofin on midas tom ezo asiyas yashar v'tov yesh bezel yosem mibezel, right? In as much as the din here is a din of asiyas yashar v'tov, which requires us to be sensitive to don't needlessly torment somebody if it makes no difference to you. So what's the difference if the chaluka, if the bechor, as we speak, has no property? The point is, we know he's going to have property. So if it doesn't make any difference to anybody else, which it doesn't, so let them give it to him, make sure that it's his. Pishnayim, you wouldn't need the muck. You wouldn't need... I'm sorry, let me just clarify. That was the answer to their question, right? The reason that the Bechor gets, they need that drasha, is because the din of Kofin Amidas Tom of Bar Metzra doesn't apply in this case. In this case where Matsunuso the Chalukaso Bankaha. So the Rabinio's point, the question is that doesn't make any sense. The whole din is a din of Gasisa Bayashar Vatov. What difference does it make if he has before the Chalukah, if he has the Matsuranus already? What's the difference? Why should that make a difference? Why is that less Yashar Vatov than this? I think it's a very compelling question. And I think as the Ravid seems to have if you disagree with this, I think the idea seems to be that it isn't the basis. The basis for this, meaning it's Asisa V'Yashar Tov, but the basis for it is that there's a claim afforded to the Ben HaMetzar. He has a natural claim over that property. That's true if he's actually the Ben HaMetzar. If he's not yet the Ben HaMetzar, if his Matsronus is only Boing Ka'achas with the Chalukah, so then there's not going to be any din here. Meaning, when you say Eze Yasiyas Yashar Tov Yosar Mizo Yosar Mizo, if we're saying that the Yasiyas Yashar Vatov here is that you recognize, you respect the Ben Meitzar's natural claim, doesn't apply here. Because he doesn't, we're not talking about a Ben Meitzar. He will be, but he's not yet. So then I think you have a possible answer, and I think it's compelling somewhat to suggest it. Yeah.
Why does he need the property adjacent to the one that he wants in order to have a claim on it? Meaning that you could say that he has the claim even though he doesn't have his...
He doesn't yet have the claim. Meaning he's not yet a Ben HaMetzar. He doesn't own the property samach to anything yet.
Why do you have to be a Ben HaMetzar to have a claim on the...
Let's say I'm going to do Hibuch, but I haven't yet done Hibuch. Let's say I'm going to do Ma'asekinim, but I haven't yet done Ma'asekinim. You wouldn't get the rights, you wouldn't have the claims that are a function of your being owner of, let's say, that object. You haven't done it yet. Meaning if your being a Ben HaMetzar gives you a certain claim, that's something which, meaning, let's say, you can think of it as a quasi-kinyon, a chati-kinyon in the Lashon of the Ran. So then he doesn't have that if he's not yet a Ben HaMetzar. He's going to be a Ben HaMetzar, but that's already once the whole question has been decided. Mm-hmm. So if we're just think of what's, you know, let's be nice to a person, there's no need to torment him, so then I think there's almost no answer to the question of the Rabinion.
Right.
Why would we care whether or not Matsur Nusso of the Chalukas of Ban Ka'achas, what's the difference?
Right.
But if it's based on sort of a recognition of the Ben HaMetzar's having a sort of claim, and the Asiyas Yashar V'Tov is respect that, then I think you can argue, then it would make a difference. And I think the biggest nafkamina takes us back to our point of departure, in a sense, to the din of Matana first. Right, the Rush, the Orzarua, and the Ran, if you remember, they all seized upon, this in a sense is a problem for what I'm saying, right? They all seized upon the fact that there's no din bar mitzvah for Matana. Now, if what I'm saying is true, that really doesn't make so much sense. Why shouldn't there be a din of bar mitzvah for Matana? Even though, right, it could be that I have no other alternative, but what's the difference? The point is, I have to respect his claim, his natural priority that we recognize, Mishum Yashar V'Tov, and we ask you to recognize, and we demand that you recognize as well. So why shouldn't that apply for Matana? So I think,
Is it Mishum HaYashar V'Tov, that expectation to abide by the claim only exists in certain cases.
Yeah.
If the claim isn't fundamentally binding in its own right, then you can definitely limit.
Yeah, but it's never fundamental, meaning when you say it's not fundamentally binding, it's never fundamentally binding in its own right. It's only binding because we demand that you respect somebody's sort of priority.
We demand that respect in certain cases.
Yeah. You could have said that. But, you know, if you say, I mean, I think that is sort of hewing closely to the, and you could have always said this, I mean, even if it's, let's say, Gezel, but if it's really Mamish Gezel, so maybe we should take it into account, you know, other things. You could always say that. If it's the Kana, I think you're much less likely. Dina Rametza certainly is the Kana. To say that, you know, oh, if it matters, you know, if we have a, I mean, clearly here they weren't talking expected to Matana, but the question, and I think if it were Gezel, whatever, I think it's possible. I think there's an alternative. I think there is some other explanation of why the Din or Metzor is inapplicable in Matana, which is not what there is a Shonim. I mean, this is Shonim sort of just assume this is the reason for Matana Lesbe Din or Metzor. The Gemara actually doesn't give you a reason. It says just Matana Lesbe Din or Metzor. They're explaining, the reason is because in that case you are Nechzar Kokach, like Rabbeinu Tam says regarding Anayam Vachara. But I think that there's a very simple alternative answer, which is that the din of Din Devar Metzor, the din of Matana Lesbe Din Devar Metzor, is based upon something else entirely, and that is that the notion that the quasi kinyan, let's say the claim, the mixus kinyan, the schus that a Ben HaMetzar has over the abutting property can never override the prerogative of the actual bialim of the mocher. This is the principle that you find in the Gemara on Kufes that we're choshesh l'psei to the mocher, and the idea is simple. Could be that you have a claim upon it, but he certainly got a claim on it. And if we're sort of undermining his own bailus or his own prerogative as a bailim, so then that we're not going to do. Right? This is something which you see in the Gemara Imba Metzia. You see that there are several dinim in there that make a difference in terms of the price, other things as well. And I think we could argue very simply that the case of that when it comes to mecher, so that presents no obstacle. Why? Because money is the same regardless of who it comes from. The interest, we identify the interest in a mecher as the mocher needs to receive fair value, needs to receive money. But it doesn't matter where it's coming from. So in that case, we say we're not overriding the prerogative of the bailin to say you have to sell to the ben hametzer. But when it comes to matana, it's not so. What's the interest? His interest is to do this act to this person. He wants to befriend this person, he wants to do a favor to him, he wants him to have it. If we then force you to give it to somebody else, the ben hametzer, so that's overriding your prerogative as a bailin. That's not what's bailin's good for. I can't do what I want with it. And I think this is already implicit in the Rambam. If you pay close attention, right, what does the Rambam say? He says, when he introduces the din of a bar mitzvah of law, this is in Hilchos Shchinim, Perek Yud Beis, Halachahei, he says, "V'davar zeh mishum shenemar v'tisa yashar v'atov, amrucham, hoyel v'hamechar echad." What does that mean? Hoyel v'hamechar echad, who tov v'yashar, who sheyikdim makom zeh ben hametzer yosom min harachav. I think the Rambam is explaining there why this applies specifically to b'mecher. Because b'mecher, hoyel v'hamechar echad, meaning, it makes no difference for the lokeach, for the mocher. It's all the same, the money's the same. Right? So since it doesn't make a difference, we're not overriding the prerogative of the actual bailim, so we have the din of dinar metzah. But in matana, it's not so. Not every mekabel is the same, it's just not the case. And I think this is implicit already as well, or maybe explicit even. More in the Tshuvas HaGaonim, which I'll get to, is an interesting variation of this, a slight variation. But the direction is in this direction. This is the Tshuvas HaGaonim the Matana Lesbe Mishum Dinim Metzra, my Taima, the Bar Metzra Mishum Mai, Mishum Basisa Yashav Atov. Ki Hechen the Islam Me'avid B'lokeach, Islam Me'avid B'mocher. The Yachom Mocher, the Meimar, the Chashiv Kinashi. Lukulukulu. So what we want, and the reason I say it's a variation is the rest of it is a little bit, throws in a little interesting wrinkle. But the basic idea is, we prioritize the mocher as being able to do what he wants with it, over anything else, of course. So in that case, if it's matana, we're not going to do it. Now, what would be the nafkamina between what my understanding, our suggestion of why it is that there's matana l'sbeit din d'rav metzra, and the one of the Rishonim, the Zeruah, the Ran, the Rush, it's a point of the departure, hefker. Right, the very case where Rin Tam's original point was, Hefker, Anayim HaMechler, doesn't apply. Right? If it's true, if the reason, right, this is really a simple nafkamina, a test case to serve as a nafkamina, if the reason that there's no Dina Bar Metzra in the case of Matana, right? Now, if Dina Bar Metzra is based upon the Chovas HaGavra, let's say, to refrain from gratuitously undermining behavior, and the reason less baby Matana is because, in that case, it's not gratuitous, you'd be suffering a loss, so then I think it's clearly true that with regard to Hefker, we would say the same thing. Right? There should be no din of Dibar Metzah for Hefker. Exactly like Rabbi Natan says regarding Anamiyam Bechorar. Right? Whereas if my suggestion is correct, that the reason, what we're suggesting is correct, that the reason there's no Dibar Metzah, the basis for the din of Dibar Metzah is that it's based sort of on the recognition of the sort of pre-Kinyan claim of the Ben HaMetzer over the abutting property. And the reason that Lesbe Matana is that we don't allow the Ben HaMetzer's claim to override the actual Bailim's prerogatives, so then it should, in terms of Hefker, that should of course apply to Hefker. Right? There's no alternative, it's true. But that was never the basis of the din. The fact that there was no alternative. It has nothing to do with anything. Why doesn't it apply to Matana? Because he wants to give it to who he wants to give it to. That clearly doesn't apply in Hefker. There is no Bailim in Hefker. So what about in the Makoros, right? It should be a simple question to find out. So it turns out that according to many Rishonim, this is precisely the subject of Machlokas in the Gemara. Right? The original Gemara that introduced the din of Dina Bar Metzra. So it introduces the name of a single Amora, which naturally leads to the question, what was the issue here? What did the other Amora think, right? The Gemara said, this is in the page number one in the sources, right? Amar Yudah Amar Rav, Haiman Da'asik Ben Yachi Ben Yishutzi, Right, so if somebody comes in and is kona property between two brothers, between two shutafim, so he's chatzifa, it's chutzpah, but slukidom is lakinle. We don't force him to give the, you know, to pay the item, to give the karka to the achar, to the shutaf, so that their nechasa could be zelazeh next to each other. It's just, it's mechutzah. Nachman Omar, not mean it's lakinle. No, in that case, we actually force them to give it up to the achar, the shutaf. But the imishum din de bar mitzvah was just merely, let's say, the fact that he was the abutting property. It wasn't achim or wasn't shutzim. Just a ben ha-metzar. So in that case, in that case, lo misakin amay. So it seems like he doesn't have the din of din de bar mitzvah. This is where we get the din of ner dai. Ner dai is the one who introduces. Ner dai amri, afilu mishum din de bar mitzvah misakin amay. Shub shenemar v'sisa yashar v'tov b'nei Hashem. Okay. So what was the other shita? What are we discussing here? What was the other shita? So Rashi actually says that the other shita, right, meaning Rav Nachman there, right, says lo echpat lam the din of bar mitzvah klal. He just doesn't have the din of the bar mitzvah. But other shonim didn't assume that was the case. Other shonim assumed that nobody's calling on the din of the bar mitzvah. And the Rav was therefore actually asked. I don't have the shita. Does anybody know what that says here? I only copied part of it. But the Rav was asked, what's going on in this Gemara? What are they arguing about? So he suggests it's a good question. And what he suggests is, I'll tell you, perhaps what they're arguing about is hefker. What we're dealing with here is specifically a case of hefker. That seems to be how he understood this case. So the machlokas was, does din bar mitzvah apply to hefker? And he goes on to explain, what was the machlokas? So he explains, why would you say that it shouldn't apply? What was Rav Nachman's explanation of that? What was the explanation for Rav Nachman? Amar Rav Nachman, shlo atil akasuv din bar mitzvah ela alokeach. He means here alokeach, as opposed to a mikabel matana. Ela alokeach, or a zochem enet. Ela alokeach. Why? Mishum shenema v'sisa yashar. Zeh lefi she'anu omrim lo, atat koneh b'mauscha, hiniyach karka zeh leben ha-metzar hazeh, v'atat t'mtsol ek nosu lo, so you'll find somewhere else, buy somewhere else. Aval alokeach zeh yeh shol omar lo, hiniyach karka zeh shehu b'lokeach zeh v'chule. V'lech atat v'kineh. Right? That's the reason, right? So the reason is because in the case of a lokeach, of someone you can buy it, meaning he's saying a lokeach in the case of karka, in the case of hefker, he's saying, so that's exactly the reasoning that, right, we're familiar with now, from Rita Tamina and Anu Hapich. That's exactly the reason why Rishon thought this was a good mucker for it. Because what's the reasoning? The reasoning is, you can find somewhere else, so if you're buying it, you can buy it somewhere else, you don't need to buy it here, let him have it here, right? But if it's hefker, so then when else are you going to find a wonderful piece of land for free? You're not. So therefore, there's no din here. That was the argument of Rav Nachman. But Ner Dai Amri, and I should be clear, we pass him like Ner Dai, like Mara says that. Ner Dai Amri, no, that there, it applies even here. Now the Rav doesn't really explain. Vamri Ner Dai, lo, elohoyo lehen ba'in b'taina zidamar metzra, taina santaina, fisha amro yisparach, basisa yashar v'atoku, kolo shnei dvar minuskar v'alach v'idirim. It applies there as well. Now, why? So, the truth is that this was I think it was the name of the Radach in the Shulchan Gemara there. He actually rejects this whole parish. He doesn't like the parish of the Rif because he thinks there's no explanation. It can't be that we're dealing with hefker here. Because if it were true, then nobody would say there's dinar mitzvah. V'hai parish dachak elafilu b'dami nami lasal nesuki de lo gara zochem in a hefker mekab matana. Why? Because what happened? We have matana. So why is zochem in a hefker any different than matana? Matana mean what's the problem with matana? You can't find it anywhere else. So that's the same thing is true with hefker, right? Mekamatana mali zachalo no sina matana mali zachalo shemayim meaning hefker in the chamatana gola mizub. Let's be mishum vasisa yashar v'tov klal. There's no vasisa yashar v'tov in this case. So what's the reasoning? So I think this simple thing to say, explain is the reasoning is what we suggested, right? Namely that there is no din of din ha-metzra. There is a din of din ha-metzra for hefker. Because it has nothing to do with what you could find elsewhere. It has something to do with simply respecting the natural claim of the Ben HaMetzah. Why is it Matana is different? Matana has to do with the fact that you're overriding the prerogative of the Bible. This, I believe, is exactly the Ramban. The Ramban says this in this context, in the context of explaining this Machlokas. He, like the Rif, explains, this is talking about Zochem and Hefker, and he explains what was Rav Nachman's explanation, because, you know, you have, in normal cases, in the case of Mecca, Chumemkar, you have alternatives, so just go find it somewhere else. That was Rav Nachman's, right? But in Hefker, you don't have that. That was Rav Nachman. The Ramban explains what Ner Dai held, right? This is the Ramban. I have it here in the Mekoros. V'yesh lomar the feet perushud, meaning perushurif. Dapka atzik shuzochem in Hefker. She'ain omrim lo told me asada vistalik. This is Rav Nachman. He can find it elsewhere. That's Rav Nachman. Well, what does Neradai think? Well, Neradai, the dying b'chayagav, meaning hefker, din devar metzorah, lo dami lematana. Right? So Ramban immediately attacks the raya that you had to this is the yisod of dinar metzorah, namely matana. He immediately says, lo dami lematana, the hasam. What was the dinar matana? You guys have it? Lo nasal no amnas lachofo limkor shalo lachir. Right? The bailim, this is the Ramban in Bamasiyah. The Bailim didn't. He doesn't address this in the where the Gemara says the Dinah Meretz Lesser Shortana. He addresses it when in the central Gemara on Kuches Manav, right, where there's Machlokes about Hefker according to the Rif. So he explains that why is it that there's no Din of Dinah Meretz Lesser Shortana because the Bailim didn't give it to this Makabel so that he would have to go give it to somebody else. Right, the Hasan Lo Nasan Lo Amenas Chupa Limkor Shalol Acher. I think that's exact. And so what if he didn't give it to him? Well, we just can't override the Bailim's prerogatives. If he wants this karga to be in the hands of that person, so we're not going to undermine that for the sake of the Ben HaMetzar. He had a claim on it. Well, the Bailim also had a claim on it. So we're respecting the Bailim's claim upon it. That's why there's no din of din HaMetzar Matana. But therefore in Hefker, there is din of HaMetzar. Now, it happens to be that the most Rishonim accept the Perush HaRif, and what emerges, therefore, is we paskin that there is a Din Bar Mitzvah in Hefker. So this, right, and this is true even for most Rishonim, the very Rishonim who sent us to there as the Makar for Bita Tam. So that creates a certain kind of problem, right? I mean, why is there a Din Bar Mitzvah of the guarding Hefker? If the whole Svar of Hefker, of Din Bar Mitzvah, the whole idea of Asisa Yashar V'Tov, is refrained from things which are needlessly undermining, so why does it apply in Hefker? How can it apply in Hefker? Now, you could have said, well, maybe I'll just reject the Rif, like that day in the Shidduch Mezuzos, but most don't. So the Rush sort of... Oh, I didn't bring it here. The Rush in Bava Metzia sort of gives you a... He adds a little point, which the Tur really addresses explicitly. And the Rush says, why is it that we say in this case of Hefker, go ahead and... You have to do the Din of Bar Mitzvah applies. It says because the assumption is that in that case there were other available batim or sados of Hefker, which effectively creates a condition. Meaning, when is it that we say in the case of Hefker that Din of Bar Mitzvah applies if there's available other such equivalent properties be Hefker that you can get Hefker from Hefker? Right, this is how it is in fact formulated in the Torah, but you can see what forced them to this because it didn't make sense to say otherwise. Right, this is the Torah in Chosh Mishpat. Ha'isa sada she'etzal ha'matzvan hefker uba echa v'hichzik ba im yimtza kemosa b'malkam acher shal hefker l'achzik ba yachol ha'matzvan l'salko v'im lav en yachol l'salko. Right, if in fact he can't find it elsewhere, so he's introducing a significant okimta. Right, it's true that it works behefker. That's only if you can't find anything else elsewhere. Now, in terms of the Rush, I think this is not obvious. Why do I say that? Because I think the clear implication has to be that he's assuming the same would be true for Anayamat Bechara, namely that if you were to have hefker, something which was available, there are other equivalent versions of it, shall hefker, then there would be a din bar mitzvah. Right? Now, in fact, there are Rishonim who say that explicitly. In fact, one of them was of the Shabbat Tam, probably. The question that Rishonim, one of the questions that Rishonim raised against Rabbi Tam was the halacha mentioned in the context of Yoralim Nusach Chaver, the Gemara in Baba Basra, of Marchikim Mina Mitsuda, Kemala Ritzis Adak, right? That if you have somebody who's fishing, so you have to have your other, and somebody else wants to come and fish, so they have to establish their nets, their traps, if fishes swim away, right? So the question was, that's Hefker. Now, some Rishonim offered the answer there, well, I'll tell you why. There's a problem. Why? Because you can just go over there. There's no reason that he has to be taking these dagim shel hefker. There's dagim shel hefker. There's no shortage of fish in the sea. Right? Isn't that a phrase? Right? So there's no need for him to take my Dugan Shel Hefker if he has the equivalent Dugan Shel Hefker elsewhere. Meaning, the chiluk is lav dafka mecher versus hefker, it's in yuchal in sob makam acher or lo. That's a chiluk. So in hefker 2, you would say the same thing if, in fact, there were other equivalents. Dugan. Right? This is the Tosafot sort of hints to it here. Vavasha, they're pretty explicit about it. This is on Chaf Aleph. But what's interesting is that the Rush, he never says this. In all the Rushes I looked into, he never ever gives his answer for anything. This is on in Machrikim and Dagen, Chaf Aleph and Vavasra. Right? He says, the Hakshamais, he quotes from Benitam, the Hakshamais is a Tosos in Babasan, Chaval and Bid, Dimas Machigan. The Hakshamaisa, the Hakha, I'm sorry, the Hakshamaisa, meaning our Sugya of Machigim and Sudas Adag, that's low Kasha under Benitam. The Abagad, the Habidavar Shal Hekar, Mikom Makom, Mikomos Yimsa, Shayucha Lifros Mitsudasa. There's just no need for you to come over here. It's Hefker, but the point is, in this case of Hefker, there is Yuchal Himself Makam Acher. Now, the Rush doesn't ever bring this. You might say, well, why does he have to bring it? Well, I think the reason you might have, you would think you wouldn't need to mention this because this isn't obvious. Because you might have said exactly what the Raman said, namely, that there's kind of, we just don't make these chilukim. The difference is, if it's Hefker, right, the Raman said four even time even. Right, that if it's mecher, it doesn't matter if this happens to be a mecher, which you cannot find elsewhere. Right, if it's Yuchal Limsa Bezol. Lo Yuchal Limsa Bezol Kazet. Raman says, Lo Ein Lachlo, Ein Lachalik. We're not, right? Rabbeinu Tam establishes Mechir versus Hefker. That's really what it is. It's, like we said, perhaps, because it's a Tekana, and there's a Lo Plugged aspect to it. So, if that's true, I think Raman would, I have to check actually, but I think Raman would likely tell you, there's no such thing as, in this case of Hefker, there's no problem. There is a problem of Dinah Ramesser, because you call himself Malcolm Hefker. That's not a Devar Pasha. And the fact is, it's not mentioned in the Torah either. Now, if what we're saying is true, I think you have to argue, you just have to assume that this isn't, I mean, the Rush really does agree with this. Because given the Rush, how he viewed these as being inextricably linked, right? The fact that it does not apply to Hefker is based on Bar Metzra, essentially. I think you have to assume that the Rush would agree that in both cases, then, if you have a Hefker which is available, easily available elsewhere, there is a din of Aniyah B'Chara. I'm just saying, it's not obvious, and in fact, the Tur doesn't say, you would expect the Tur, assuming that he also, like his father, sort of viewed these things as inextricably linked, would start out the halacha of Hefker in the context of Aniyah B'Chara by saying that the din applies, to Hefker if there's other available places. He doesn't say that, he doesn't mention it. Right? This is the Torah on Kodesh Mishpat, Simur Rishon Zayin, in the beginning. Mechazer achar dabalik nosa ben karga ben mitatali bacha v'kano nikirasha v'kasa v'intam v'hua din nami b'skiris v'chulu v'kulei. Aval in bal diskos behefker l'kav matana me'echad u ba'achar v'kidmo enyo nikirasha she'enu davar matzalo b'makam achar. Doesn't say im in a davar matzalo b'makam achar. It just says behefker, there's no din of Rasha. So I think the Torah, assuming that he does agree with his father that these are linked, these dinim, I think it's reasonable to assume that he would think that. I think you have to argue that there's, right, read Simon Rech Shalom and Zion in light of how we're reading, or in light of what's explicit in, was it Simon, in the Torah, Simon Kufayin Hei, Sif Pei Zion, that, in fact, it's only if there's no alternatives in the Hefker. If there were, in fact, alternatives, if there were a case where there were alternatives, such as some Rishonim think with regard to the case of Dagim, then, in fact, there would be a din of Aniyah B'Chara. But either way, I think the simple way to understand this is the fact that it applies to Hefker. Simple way to understand it is that it isn't, in fact, based on this sort of logic. And in fact, the idea is Vasisa Yashar Vatov demands in respect, sort of a claim which doesn't quite reach to the level of real kinyan. But nonetheless, we were saying Vasisa Yashar Vatov, don't violate it. All right. Yeah?
I was going to give you a heads up on
time wise. Okay. So you know what? That's fine. I was sort of hoping we would finish the topic, but well, I guess the truth is it's just somewhat. We there's what to do. The next thing we'll just discuss is just the question of chiyuv mamon. Well, I'll just raise it now. I'll just mention it now. which is that the Rebbe Tam is quoted in the Ramban, in that Ramban Bavasra, and also in the Ritva, which I put it there. Right, now, so I found the question of the sort of the character in the Makor. Now we're just dealing with the consequences. I mentioned the consequences the Gemara discusses, namely the Nikra Rasha, two days from Shodom, about how to understand that. But the more significant question for us is just whether or not this is actionable, whether or not, in fact, you'd be chayiv. So the postures you would think is, don't be you, the Gemara doesn't say anything about you. But Rebbe Natan is quoted in the Ramban as saying that there is a chiyuv. That we say chayiv lahavzir in this case. This is the Ramban of Bavasa and Dalit. He says, v'shamati, shamanu shedaitu shor Rebbe Natan, lomar, shebekom makum shenikra rasha, bezin mechayiv yinosa lahavzir adam. So he says, lo mistabri, he thinks that our Gemara is awry against it. If it were true, then why is Rav Gidol hesitant to enter into the property? He's really mechuyav min adin to pay him back. Okay, one could have. Okay, it's a raya, but either way, Rav Tam apparently held it mischayav. So the question is, how do we understand this issue? Now, I'm just going to outline now, and one could have said, well, maybe this is exactly a perfect nafkamina for the issue we've been dealing with until now. All right, if it's mishum gezel, right? So then it makes sense to say that fine. So heishiv is a gezel. On whatever level there's an isser, there should be whatever that same level there should be a heishiv. Whereas if it's just a question of conduct, of ethical conduct, so no. So what's done is done. So there's no chiyuv l'hafzir. Maybe it would help for your tshuva perhaps if you were to give it back, but there's no chiyuv l'hafzir. So that I think is what you would think. Now notice that this doesn't work so well for our understanding of Rebbe Tam, right? Rebbe Tam is the one who held. Right, so I think that's not an accidental point. I think that both of these are challengeable. First, that if it's Gezel, then it should be something which is, there would be a Chiyuv L'Hachzir. And more significantly, in the context of Rebbe Tam, the opposite, that if even if it isn't Gezel, you might say, we would be Mechayiv L'Hachzir. So that we'll discuss next time, and I think I laid out my course. All right, so, Shkach.